We have a rather special gospel reading this morning, so I'm going to ask all those involved to come and get themselves ready as we hear a telling of the passion narrative from Mark's gospel.
My name is John Mark. When I was a young man, I wrote down an account of Jesus' life. Much of my account is based on my conversations with Simon Peter. I will start by relaying the events that led up to Jesus' death. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a quiet way to arrest Jesus and kill him. However, they were scared that there might be a riot if they did it during the festival. At this time, Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. As he sat at the table, a woman came in with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some who were present were very angry with the woman. I think this is over to you guys. Is it all, and that's the congregation? But Jesus took her side, saying,
"Let her alone. Why are you angry with her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her."
Then Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests in order to betray Jesus to him. When they heard it, they were ecstatic and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, Jesus' disciples inquired where he wanted them to prepare the Passover meal. Jesus then gave two of his disciples some very strange instructions.
"Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and whichever house he enters, say to the owner, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there.'"
So the disciples set out and went to the city and found everything exactly as he had told them. And they prepared a Passover meal. When it was evening, he came with the 12. And when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said a very disturbing thing.
"Truly, I tell you, one who is eating with me will betray me."
They were really upset at this and began asking one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me."
"It's one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes, it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born."
What followed gave this Passover meal a whole new meaning. While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it gave it to them and said,
"Take it. This is my body."
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it.
"This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
At the end of the meal, they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them,
"You will all become deserters, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee."
Peter, in typical fashion, said to him,
"Even though all become deserters, I will not."
"Truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows thrice, you will deny me three times."
But Peter replied all the more vehemently,
"Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you."
And all of the disciples said the same. They continued to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I pray."
He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and anguished. He said to them,
"I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake."
And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, he might not have to go through this time of suffering.
"Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I want, but what you want."
He came and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter,
"Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak."
He went away again and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough, the hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. And with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying,
"The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard."
And as soon as Judas arrived, he went up to Jesus,
"Teacher,"
and kissed him. Then they laid their hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to them,
"Did you have to come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I was a bandit? Day after day, I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled."
Then all of the disciples ran away. I too was present and had hastily thrown on a linen cloth and followed the crowd at a distance. When the disciples ran off, the guards saw me and grabbed hold of the cloth, but I slipped out and escaped naked. Then they took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. and he was sitting with the guards, warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for evidence against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. Many witnesses told lies against him, but their stories did not agree. Some others stood up and testified falsely against him, saying, but even on this point, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus,
have you no answer to the accusation they bring against you?
But he was silent and did not answer. Again the high priest asked him,
are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?
I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power, coming with.
At this, the high priest tore his clothes and said,
why do we still need witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?
They all voted against him. He is guilty and should be put to death. Some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, and to strike him, saying, the guards also took him over and beat him. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said,
you also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth.
But he denied it.
I do not know or understand what you are talking about.
And he went out into the forecourt. Then the cock crowed. And the servant girl, on seeing him, began again to say to the bystanders,
this man is one of them.
But again he denied it. Then after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, but he began to curse, and he swore an oath.
I do not know this man you are talking about.
At that moment, the cock crowed for the second time. Then Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. And he broke down and wept. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests met hurriedly with the elders and the scribes, and the whole council made their plans. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate questioned him.
Are you the king of the Jews?
You say so.
Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again.
Aren't you going to answer? Listen to their
accusations.
But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, he was in the habit of setting free any one prisoner the people asked for. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate for the usual favor. Then he asked them,
do you want me to set free for you the king of the Jews?
He knew very well that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him because they were jealous. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again.
Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?
And they shouted back, why? What evil has he done? But they shouted all the more,
crucify, 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 crucify.
So Pilate, wishing to please the crowd, released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led Jesus into the courtyard of the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort. They put a purple cloak on him and made a crown out of thorns and put it on his head. And they began saluting him. They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he didn't take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They also crucified 2 bandits with Jesus, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying,
'He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross so that we may see it and believe.'"
Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice,
"Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,"
which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said,
"Listen, he is fallen."
And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying that they should wait to see if Elijah would bring him down from the cross. With a loud cry, Jesus died. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said,
"Truly, this man was God's son."
This is the passion of the Lord.